Well, Kim Carlsberg is back with us, her book, The Art of Close Encounters. So we'll take your phone calls with her when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Kim, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, the other abductees, great stories, huh?
Fantastic stories. And I just wanted the people to know that fantastic hour that we just heard, these guests were chosen, and their stories were chosen from my new book, The Art of Close Encounters. And there's another 147 stories like that accompanied by really amazing art. And it's available at The Art of Close Encounters.
God, I would love to have all 147 others on the program. We just wouldn't have that kind of time. What inspired you to write the book?
Well, my first book was an illustrated book back in 95, Beyond My Wildest Dreams. I'm a photographer and an artist, and that's how I communicate. I'm a visual communicator. So at the end of that book, I put out a request to other people of contact if they had art and stories to send it to me because I wanted to do a compilation book. Well, it took me 15 years to accomplish, but it's here now, and it was worth the wait. I wanted to do it as a comfort to other contactees who could identify with a story or stories. I wanted it to be a visual reference to the different ETs, the different crafts, the different types of experiences people are having. And I wanted it to be something you could put on the table, and people wouldn't be intimidated by it.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a conversation starter. And people who are trying to express their own contacts would have an easier opening to family and friends. And I think it accomplished all those things.
Did you get more than the 150 responses? I'm sure you did.
Oh, absolutely. I started Volume 2 already before Volume 1 was completed. So for any listeners out there that have had their own contact experiences and can do some art or find an artist to represent your story, I would love to continue these volumes forever. So many people have no outlet, have no way to express their stories, and when they're coupled with all these other stories, it's not intimidating, and it's going to make a difference for people in the world. I really believe it.
You, of course, have been abducted yourself. What do you think of these issues, these stories, when people come to you or you hear other cases of abductees? What theories are you putting behind why so many people are having this happen to them?
You know, I really believe it's been happening forever. I believe how things have changed. You know, the internet and media is making it possible for people to express these things that couldn't be expressed before. You know, they say that contactees, abductees, it goes in family lineage. And I look back on my father's life, and he was in World War II. And he came home to a world that was, I can't imagine him trying to speak out about being abducted by aliens. There was no room for that conversation in his world. The world has changed a lot. And I think there's just an opening now, and there's a support system that's been built up by people like Travis and me and Miriam. You know, we were on the forefront of this. You know, we took the big blunt hits in the beginning, but it's not like that anymore. The conversation is available, and it's not as hard as it was 15 years ago.
Okay, let's go to some of the phone calls. We'll pick it up, first of all, by going to Corey in Los Angeles. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi, Corey. Go ahead.
George, it's a great honor to be on your show. I love your show.
Thank you, Corey.
Kim, I thought you were somebody I dated when I heard your voice. I mean, but her name was Kim.
Well, she was from the L.A. area, too. You never know.
Well, I used to live in Venice. And I saw I used to live over the boardwalk in Venice. I had a really killer apartment there. And
ever date a Corey, Kim? you won't admit it, huh?
Well, I saw that exact, I was hanging out with my friends one night, and my friend's like, look, and we saw that exact, I saw,
the moon over Malibu?
I saw a light probably move from, like, the Marina Del Rey area straight up to Malibu super fast. I mean, I'm talking in the blink of an eye.
Right.
But that wasn't the story that I called that really I wanted to share. Was when I was 12 years old, I'm 39 now, and I grew up in Chicago, and I went away to summer camp in Waupaca, Wisconsin, when I was 12 in 1984. And I remember it was break time, and I took out a canoe. I had about an hour to kill, you know, for free time. So I took out this little kayak, and I just went kayaking, you know, on the little lake it was on. And I looked up, and I saw this silver kind of huge disc that was kind of like right over my head, and it, everything just kind of stopped. And I totally identified with what you said, that feeling paralyzed.
Yeah.
And I felt that, like, and I, anyways,
I don't believe that paralysis is fear, although that's surely there. You know, in my experience, they would not take me unless I was paralyzed. And that is something that they do to your physical body.
You were too much trouble for them anyway, Kim,
I was.
Weren't you?
I was. They were happy when I said stop.
Do you recollect any kind of instruments or anything like that?
Yes, lots of them. I had something when I was on a table. I looked up, and there was this huge unit that would pass up and down over my body with different colored lights. At one point, a tube fell out of this unit, and they took it, and they shoved it up my nose. I believe they probably put an implant, a BB-type implant, in my nose. I always had nosebleeds and those kinds of problems, and that's very common. So,
you know Roger Lear, Dr. Roger Lear?
I know him very well. He's a dear, dear friend. As a matter of fact, I was there for the very first alien implant removal in his office back in the early 90s. When you're part of the MUFON group, you take whatever you can offer, whatever your, you know, career is,
sure,
and offer it up. So being a photographer, I said, if anybody ever needs a photographer, let me know. I was given some information over the phone that I was supposed to show up somewhere. They wouldn't tell me where. They said that they couldn't tell me over the phone because the phones were tapped. They would get the information to me some other way. The information did come some other way. The day that I was supposed to show up for this event that I didn't know what it was, I was actually chased by a black helicopter on the way there. They were just trying to intimidate me. It didn't. It just made me want to get there even faster. So I did, and we photographed the removal of two implants that were from two people Daryl Sims brought from Texas. And it was a very fascinating day.
Well, let's go to our Skype line. We've got Robert in the country of Norway on the line. Hey, Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hello, George.
Hey.
It's an honor to be on your show. Wow. I did never expect, actually, to get on.
Well, wonder of technology, huh? Here you are in Norway. We're over here in Los Angeles, and bang, there you are.
Yeah, and bang, wow. I have a little high pulse, but... I have your book also, so I bought your book, so
Not
really this is finished, but so I'm a fan of Coast to Coast, long time listener and so on. Well, anyway, I have something. I've tried to call in many times. Last time I called in was 14 days ago, but then I didn't have a headset, so I was asked to buy a headset, and now I have a headset.
So we could hear you.
Yeah, so you can hear me. And I tried many times to call in and sent the emails many times, but I know there's a lot of traffic on your part. So.
Well, you're in now, Robert, so go ahead.
I have memories from being on board Tunguska, a craft in Tunguska, over Russia, Siberia. And I was also contacted early age, about 14 years old. This was in 27 of February 1984.
Okay.
I was 14 years old at the time.
And you were in Norway at that time.
Yeah, I'm in Norway at that time. And beam ship landed 15 meters from me, and I peed my pants.
I understand.
I peed my pants when that craft landed because a lady come out of that craft. That lady looks like Semyaza.
Semyaza. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Pleiadian or Iranian girl, Semyaza. She was transparent when she got out of the craft, so I can see right through her.
What did they want with you, Robert? Did they say?
I do not know what you want. They just said my name and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Robert. And that was the time when I pee my pants. And the funny thing after, I hear like a click, like a mechanical click. And then everything was over, and I know I pee my pants because I can feel my pee going.
Okay, okay, okay. But enough of the body parts. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate you being on the show. I guess sometimes in Norway they don't understand the way we talk here in the United States.
It's a little different everywhere
yes.
you go.
Yes, a little too much body part stuff. It's not profane, but it's a little too much for me. Let's go to Sharon in Cincinnati. No, let's go to Linda in Sharon, Cincinnati. There you go. Hi, Linda.
Hello. hi, Kim. Really glad to have this opportunity. I'm kind of interested in when you sort of described what the ETs were like and then also described what your daughters and the other hybrids were like. I was a little confused because you'd kind of given the overall the idea that the ETs were more evolved spiritually and thought we were pretty Neanderthal, but and yet at the same time they're kind of nasty with you when they could have been more compassionate. But when you described your daughters or the other hybrids, you'd said that they'd taken the better qualities of humans and themselves to create that. And I was wondering, are the hybrids, do they seem to be more compassionate and spiritually evolved than either humans or the ETs?
Wow, that's a broad question. Let me go to the beginning and tell you how I feel about the way the ETs treat the abductees. You know, I compare it to when we go out into the wild and we dart an animal, a wild animal that is losing its habitat, and we put, you know, metal necklaces around them or whatever, and we implant them with things, and we take their blood. From their perspective, it's a horrible experience. From our perspective, we're trying to save them, and that's my comparison. I know that the abductions can be brutal, but I've never said I thought that the aliens were intentionally trying to hurt us. I do believe they're trying to save us. As far as spirituality, I've had some of my greatest spiritual experiences with the ETs. One time they said, "You are us." And immediately I felt one with them, one with God, one with everything, and totally enveloped in love. It was nirvana. But I can't tell 8 years of, you know, experiences in one night. As far as the hybrid children, they are spiritually evolved. They are probably more spiritually evolved than us because they do. They are half ET or 10% or 90% or whatever it is. So does that answer your question?
I do hope so. Thank you, Linda. Bob in Los Angeles. Here you go, Bobby.
Hey, it's very ironic because your guest on tonight, I've had a personal conversation with some family member about this abduction stuff that I've never told anybody else in my life. And here she is spilling the beans on everything I've said. I mean, what this lady is saying is exactly what I've been telling somebody else covertly, you know, word for word. I mean, I don't see how like 20 things she's brought up that I've said to somebody else. So that's like the weirdest coincidence in the world.
Yeah. Well, a little validation there, huh?
Yeah, it's really weird. I thought, I'm losing my mind here, you know, because I would wake up, I'd be in bed. The only thing I could move is my eyes and my head. I'd be frozen, and there'd be this little thing at the end of the bed, about maybe 3 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. I was looking at it. It just looked like it was incredibly healthy. You know, there wasn't any marks or blemishes on the skin or any freckles or anything. It just really looked like a healthy living organism. And at first, I thought it was a child. But I looked at it, and I go, wait a minute, the eyes are too big, and it was communicated through telepathic.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, who are you? And it said this. It goes, I am made of you. That's what it said.
Ah, you are us. I am made of you. Wonderful.
Yeah. It said, I'm made of you, and I don't understand. And this has been going on since I was a little kid. And when I was really small, because it scared you, because you're a child, it would rush up to my face and put its eyes right in front of my eyes, and it would put me in a trance, so I'd be relaxed.
Yeah, these are such typical abduction experiences. This is to the T.
But they trained me, and I think a lot of people who have the psychic abilities have been trained by them, because it trained me how to basically see future events. And I believe people have psychic abilities. It's actually the languages of these aliens or whoever these people are. It's actually how they communicate. They can communicate on the quantum mental level, which sees out of time and space. So they can actually see future events. And I actually buy things before I even need it. It's like, I'll go to a store and I'll buy a bolt. I know that something's going to break,
mm-hmm.
and I'll need a bolt that's 2 inches long by this, and I'll buy it and I'll set it down there. And then the next day I'll need that bolt. I've been doing it all my life. And it's really, but it's sort of depressing too. It's sort of like a birthday party that's been ruined for you. Cause I know events in my life that are going to happen and it sort of ruins it. I know what cars I was going to have when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Kids would draw a picture of like a sports car, and I just drew a stupid van, you know, and the same van that I drew, I bought, but I didn't really intentionally try to buy it. I needed it because I installed TV antennas. I went somewhere, and the guy had the van. He showed it to me. Yeah. It was the same one I drew when I was a child.
Yeah, that's tapping into the multiverse.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, Kim, if you ever felt threatened during your specific episode.
Threatened. Only with the military. I felt terrified with the ETs, but I wouldn't call it threatened. I didn't want to be there. It was physically painful. I wanted to go home. But I felt threatened and suicidal after my experience.
Suicidal?
With the military.
It was that bad?
Yes.
How did you pull out of that?
How did I pull out of it?
Yeah.
With good friends, lots of support. And I realized immediately that that's what they wanted. They probably wanted me to check out, so that I wouldn't be talking, and that pulled me through. I said, no, you're not going to win.
Do you think they cringe when they listen to shows like this, people like you?
I don't think they cringe anymore. I think this is, you know, such common knowledge these days that I can't imagine.
You don't think they care, or?
I think they care. I don't think they find it surprising.
Do you think they think that people might not believe your story?
Yes, of course. They're betting on that. Absolutely. That's the whole way the system
Yeah, that could be the premise of why they don't do anything to
right.
it. Right. You know, mm-hmm. why bring attention to it?
Sure.
You'd get more notoriety if they did something to you than if they just simply left you alone.
That's true.
And the name of the book, we're going to come back, by the way, with final calls, but it's The Art of Close Encounters.
And she's at theartofcoastencounters.com.
And you don't know where. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Kim Carlsberg. We'll take your calls for the rest of this half hour. Kim, what's new with you? Do you go speaking engagements or anything like that?
I do. I just got back from Leeds, England. I was there with your...
Oh, Richard was there, huh?
Richard.
How'd he do? I'll be talking to him tomorrow night in Albuquerque. Now, don't tell me. He'll surprise us.
He's always phenomenal. I mean, he's just one of my greatest heroes. That's all you can say about that. And
right.
It was funny because there were so many Richards. We had Richard Dolan and on and on and on. So many Richards. It was fabulous. So, yeah, I'm doing a lot of speaking engagements. A lot of radio. Not as exciting as Coast to Coast, but
no, not much is.
Doing a lot of that. I'll tell you the most exciting thing that's going on in my life right now.
What's that?
My UFO skywatching tours in Sedona.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't know how this happened. It was just one of those things that was meant to be. I ran into my longtime friend, Melinda Leslie, in Phoenix this year
mm-hmm.
at a conference. She walked up to me and we looked me in the face, said, I'm going to go to Sedona with these military night vision goggles and take people out on tours. Do you want to join me?
That's funny. Was she with Grimsley?
She wasn't with Ed, but he definitely started this deal. And I just said yes before she could finish the sentence. I didn't even know what it was. I just knew I was supposed to do it. So I moved here about 5 months ago, and we started taking people out to UFO hotspots here in Sedona, and we see...
It's amazing, isn't
it? Phenomenal. It is. You know, being an abductee my entire life, I know this stuff is real. I've been there, you know, up front and personal. But to constantly go out and see people's paradigms change in front of your eyes is the most satisfying thing I've ever done.
These objects, Kim, as you well know now, they're making 90-degree turns. They stop up there. And you're looking at them with these night vision goggles,
yes.
And you can't believe, for a moment you have to think, okay, are these insects way up there that you're seeing? No, they're not. Insects fly all over the place. They don't do 90-degree turns and stop.
Right. Yeah. They do all kinds of things. You know, on my website, it's SedonaUFOSkyTours.com, I have a section that says UFOs defined, and it tells you what is appropriate and natural in the night sky and what is not appropriate and natural in the night sky. And those are the things we talk about. People, you know, these craft, they go in straight lines, they stop, they turn around, go in the other direction. They, four or five, what you think are stars, will all of a sudden come together in a formation. The same craft that I saw in Malibu, the moon over Malibu, shot over our shoulder one night. A lot of these, 50% of these, George, you don't have to have the glasses for. You just have to be in a dark, Sedona's called
Sky
City.
Yeah.
And when you're in a dark sky, all this stuff is available. You don't need the glasses.
It's like being on the ocean looking up, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, we see the Milky Way, like it brightens up the sky.
Oh, I know. I mean, when you live in a city, you don't realize just how gorgeous the night sky is until you go away into the country or you know, on a lake or in the ocean, and you look up and you can see zillions of stars.
Yeah.
All right, back to the calls. Let's go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hey, Dan, thanks for holding.
It's no problem, George. How you doing?
Good.
I'm a first-time caller. I really love the iPhone app you guys have out. It's really great.
Super.
Just a little quick experience I had. I'm interested to hear what Kim has to say about it.
Okay.
I've had a few sightings in my life that I for sure can't explain. And I've always tried to separate, you know, when my mind's playing tricks on me, you know, if there's a real explanation for it and what's really happening. I try to be realistic. Well, about a couple months ago, I started having these crazy experiences where I would feel like having sleep paralysis when you wake up and you can't move.
Mm-hmm.
And I was used to that. I've had that maybe 2-3 times a year of my whole life. Well, for about 2 weeks straight, I had it every single night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always a feeling of being pulled out of my bed, moved out of my room, and I realized I would never open my eyes because I was too scared.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, and I've seen light shining out my window that I'm being pulled towards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, a couple of nights in a row within that time period, I started seeing these things that were looking like they were moving around my room, kind of like, you know, when you're watching blacktop from far away and you can see the heat rising off of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what they look like. They were see-through, but they had a realness about them. And I was so scared. I'm to the point now where I'm not scared at all.
Good.
But I would imagine them. Like, I would not imagine. I would see them, and then usually it would be followed up by an episode of sleep paralysis, me being pulled out of my bed.
Right.
And the same exact time I was having those experiences, my 28-year-old sister, Kelly, was having the same exact experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never really talked about this topic before. I'm the one that's really into the esoteric material. But I just thought it was so strange how we started having the same experiences at the same time.
Right.
I've actually started snapping pictures randomly in my room when I think I see these things.
Do you catch anything on film or on video?
I don't know. Like, yes, I definitely have a few pictures where not normal. There's something strange, and I think they look like grays.
Fascinating. Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
I'm wondering
please.
What you thought about it. And if you've ever heard about of experiences like this, of why would they be in my room? Why would they be, like, why me?
This is such a typical abduction story. It's happening everywhere all the time.
you're in paralysis, you know, the sleep paralysis. I have to tell you, I did a television show about 15 years ago, and at that time, the only time they would have an abductee on was to denigrate them. You know, they'd always
put them down.
Have the skeptic on. And this one evening, they had a skeptic on against me, and he was a doctor at UCLA. And he said, oh, this sleep paralysis is something, you know, it's called sleep paralysis, and, you know, you can't move and da-da-da-da-da. I contacted the guy and confronted him, and I said, how did this come about, the story of sleep paralysis? He told me that the show came to him and said, we need a skeptic. And he said, when they started interviewing me, there was no such term as sleep paralysis. I just made it up, and that was out of his mouth. So there's no such thing as sleep paralysis that I know of. And if you're being paralyzed where you can't move and you've got beings roaming around your room and you're seeing bright lights outside, those three things together are a great indicator that, you know, you've got some ETs buzzing around.
Sure do. Okay, let's go west of the Rockies. Hello, Kevin. Go ahead, in California.
Thank you very much for taking my call, George. And I really appreciate what you're doing, especially with shows like this.
Thank you.
I was one that was a hospital corpsman on the USS San Bernardino.
Okay, sure.
And I gave you my story a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first time I called you, George, you asked me a question for a chance to win 4 or 5 books. I'm a fan of man.
That's right.
What's the answer to that?
I'm a fan of man. That was an Al Pacino movie.
The Devil's Advocate?
Devil's Advocate, that's right.
Of course, now I got the right answer.
Yeah, and I don't have the books now.
Well, no, that's fine. okay, and number two, what did you think of my story, George, that I gave you?
Well, it was fine. It was fine. You want to relate it a little bit for Kim?
Because
I can't remember every detail.
Well, I understand. Well, it was 30 pages long, George, so I don't expect you to remember all the details. Kim, I was set up for an abduction. It's not like they just came and got me. I was told that I had the opportunity to meet ETs. The ones that I encountered were 12 to 15 feet tall praying mantises.
Oh, yeah. That scared
the heck out of you, Kevin, if I recall.
Yes, sir. Have you seen the 12 to 15 feet tall praying mantises?
I haven't seen the 12 to 15, but one of the worst ET encounters I had was with a 7 to 9 foot mantis being. I was strapped to a table, and the mantis came up to me, and I knew that it was going to probe my mind, and I didn't want it to, so I kept my head turned to the left, and eventually it always won and put its eyes to my eyes and just invaded my mind.
Did they look totally insect-looking?
Absolutely. The complete replica of the ones on Earth.
Yes. Well, okay, Kim. The ones that I encountered were 12 to 15 feet tall.
Oh, that's huge.
They never strapped me to a table.
I've heard some very loving stories about the mantis beings as well.
I don't remember them doing anything evil to me or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have any implants or anything. Thank God I've only had the one encounter. I'm still mad at the guy who set me up, because be careful what you ask for, because you never know.
I say that every day.
No, you never know. Kevin, thank you. A couple more calls here as the clock is ticking along. Or let's go to Phoenix, Arizona. David's with us. David, go ahead.
Hi, Ms. Carlsberg and Mr. Nuri.
Hi.
I'm David.
Hi,
and
David.
I wanted to talk. I'm an abductee, and I'm what you're referring to as a hybrid. I've had many experiences with the Greys growing up and getting into my young adulthood with the government, and I met some human beings, the same, what I consider to be the same humans as Mr. Walton encountered.
Mm-hmm.
Although he never had the opportunity to speak with them, I had the opportunity to speak with them at length.
Great.
And they mentioned, I would like to, at this time, take the time to explain to you that the Greys gave a presentation, and they had mentioned the coming Earth changes, and they had made it quite clear that we were going to face some serious Earth changes. The humans that I met in Colorado, they were very concerned about our well-being, and they were not, this is the very most important part that I need to explain to you and Mr. Nuri and the audience, is that the This may sound a bit disjointed at first, but if you can just humor me for a moment, understand that the Nazi folks at they had the technology. Mm-hmm. They didn't just go away at the end of the war.
Right.
In fact, what the humans explained to me in Colorado was that they had an original conflict in the Lyran system, and that they had it was over human rights, that type of thing, over treating people individually instead of the individual being more important than the whole. The whole is more important than the individual in the Nazi perspective. And right now, if you just pay attention to what's going on around you, you'll see that there's a huge conflict going on, and that many, many people are suffering, and that our people are benefiting from the suffering of our fellow humans. And that's what they mentioned, that they really cared, and that there was going to be a slight amount of suffering until this was over, and that we are supposed to hold out and try to help save as many people as possible during these earth changes. Mm-hmm. And they were us.
Yes.
But they explained to me there were two women. Mm-hmm. And there were three men I was abducted or taken after as a young adult in Vail, Colorado at a government training camp. And they explained to me that that they really, really cared for us,
yeah.
But there was a faction of humans that didn't, and that are instilling those type of ideals. They're actually harmful. Very, very. They're Nazis, for lack of a better terminology.
Are you referring to Earth humans or to humanoid ETs?
These were folks, they told me they wouldn't, they were very military in the way that they wouldn't give me specifics.
Yeah.
I spent over 24 hours with them, me and this other kid from the camp. We'd gone off into the woods.
Yeah.
And while we were there, we woke up in front of these people. He freaked out. He couldn't speak with them. But I was, as an experienced abductee with the Greys, and I have also seen, as you say, a mantis person. I have some very extensive experiences with the Greys.
Okay, let's take a few more calls, but I want you to react to this, Kim. Do you see similarities between a lot of people?
Absolutely. You know, I was taken to an underground base. It was actually inside of a mountain. I was taken through an opening in a mountainside, and it was similar to the environment in Colorado. There were pine trees, and you know it could have been in Colorado. But I was taken into this huge amphitheater. There were hundreds of people in this amphitheater, and we were told we were being prepared for something. And being the belligerent one that I am, I stood there and I said, and I stood up and I said, you know, you always do this. You bring us here. You tell us we're being prepared for something, but you won't tell us what it is. At that time, I was escorted out of the hall, but I know that there are earth changes coming. There are all kinds of parallel realities, probabilities that are going to occur in our future. And, you know, we have to decide consciously which ones we're going to take, and we have to be prepared. So I hear this all the time. We are, you know, they do care about us, and they can't just come and take us off planet. You know, but they are trying to give us options.
Let's go to Ryan, Vancouver, Washington. You're on Coast to Coast. Good morning, Ryan.
Yeah, hi. I'll keep this brief. I haven't heard most of the program, but yeah, hi, Kim. I was just wondering if you ever worked with J. Allen Hynek, who worked on Project Blue Book, or if you ever might have any chance worked with Allagash, Abduction 3, Charlie Foltz, Chuck Rack, or Jim and Jack Wiener, which were brothers.
I haven't worked with them, but you know, back in the day, in the early 90s, when I did the circuit the first time, I was, you know, at a couple of conferences with them. I think it was LA Expo. And, you know, we had tables next to each other, and I got to, you know, spend a lot of time with them. Great guys.
How about Hynek?
No.
Before your time?
Yeah, before my time.
Yeah, he was a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Stephen in Provo, Utah, we'll squeeze you in here. Go ahead, Stephen.
All right, I appreciate that,
sure.
Mr. Murray. And it's an honor to be on the show, I must say. I've just started listening to your show, and I have to say that it is one of my favorites.
Well, welcome aboard.
Not the favorite. So thank you. I appreciate it. I just wanted to kind of ask Kim something regarding an experience that I had. It was in 07 or 08.
All right, and we've only got, Stephen, because we're right at the end, a minute and a half, uh-huh. So go ahead.
Okay, I'll go real quick. So during this time, it was the 4th of July, and we went down there, me and my cousins, you know, we're out in a rural area, so we went down to the pond, and I started hearing this noise. I was the first one to hear it, and it sounded like a large craft or even a jet engine, you know, and it got closer and closer. My cousins all ran up there. They ran away. They were scared. I wanted to find out what it was, so I stayed down there, and it got really loud right on top of me. And I looked and I saw to my right, I just froze up and I had the worst chill that I've ever had regarding like evil spirits or something, you know, where just something that you know is going to can harm you. And it had a blue looking light that came out of the blackberry bushes. And ever since then, I have been able to, I seriously can look at in the sky and been able to point UFOs out. And people didn't believe me, but I was doing it at Labor Day of that next year. And I pointed one out to my, we were all sitting around the campfire. I pointed one out and they said it wasn't a UFO, it's a satellite.
Yeah, but you know the difference.
It started moving. It went. It actually got real bright and then it moved up into the sky.
Yeah. Once you have that encounter, you know the difference. Mm-hmm. Hey, Kim, I want to thank you. Let's keep in touch, okay?
Oh, thank you so much, George.
The name of the book is The Art of Close Encounters, and her websites are all linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Paul Muller, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.